Good morrow, everyone. Zach and Connor back here for another round of Finger on the Pulse info, coming straight from our reliable sources, Google and Ask Jeeves. Let's not muck about. Welcome to Newsreel.
Greetings one and all, and welcome back to another Newsreel, the hottest show in the gaming space.
Hello, hello. Yes, we're on fire, literally. Get me an extinguisher.
On fire with all this news, all this goody-goody news we're going to drop your way. What is first on our agenda today, my man?
First on the agenda today is personal favourite of mine. It's the one I'm most excited. I can't wait till the end of the episode. We've got to do it now. It's House of the Dead, right? The
remake. Yeah, House of the Dead.
I'm super excited about this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it came out the other day, didn't it, on Switch?
It did, yes. And for those who aren't aware of The House of the Dead, I don't know why you wouldn't have heard of it, but if you haven't...
Very iconic series.
Yeah, classic 90s arcade shooter. And it's been reborn with a new remake, remaster. The terminology is always a little bit of a grey area, isn't it, between remakes and remasters.
What in the actual fuck? I'm going to interrupt you for just 2 seconds, my man.
Yeah.
Just as I was getting up some House of Dead information, yeah? House of Dead Overkill, you know that game, yeah?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why the fuck does the boxed version of the PS3 game go for £69 on eBay?
I have no idea.
What in the fuck?
I don't feel like it's that exclusive either. You can pick it up on Steam.
This so is live. Like this is live disgust you're getting here. This is live disgust for me. I have just seen this and I'm like, what in the world? There's another one which is £10. What makes this one so special? Unless someone's just trying to fucking, I don't know, yank at the price, right?
Scalpers, mate.
It's a Japanese version, I guess, but I don't think that's... I don't know, maybe there's some differences in Japanese version. Who knows? That's something for another day.
Because like the Overkill, like they've got like a Typing of the Dead version, right?
That's actually really good. I like that.
Yeah, so like, I don't know, maybe the Japanese one's harder because the words are different.
I occasionally like to flex on that game to test my touch typing skills, you know?
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
a good game, actually. I like it a lot. I don't know what this guy's on about, though. This guy is selling this for, I don't know, this is unbelievable.
Call him out, Connor.
Description, it comes with game and disc and case.
Oh, that's kind of him to include.
Condition
the disc.
Is very good. There is no problem in movement. It is Japanese version. It works on any PS3 console. I don't know what there is no problem in movement means, but I don't know what that means at all. But yeah, I don't know why that's so expensive. Anyway, my bad, do continue on. That caught my eye and I was so shook I had to raise it up.
That's quite all right. I suppose I can get over you interrupting me. Anyway, so House of the Dead, classic 90s arcade shooter with many, many iterations, lots of sequels and spin-offs and so on and so forth.
A ton of fucking sequels, isn't there?
Yeah, there's loads of them.
And now, also it's just a ton of platforms this game's had as well. Like, that isn't just arcade machines.
Yeah, yeah. PC, consoles, like, it's been everywhere, man.
It's been on PC, been on Dreamcast, been on the Sega Saturn back in the day as well, PS2, Game Boy Advance had a game. Fucking Nintendo DS had a game as well, apparently. I haven't seen that one.
I have to admit, OG House of the Dead, I owned a copy, and it was for Windows 98.
Oh, my God, dude.
So, yeah, that'll tell you how old this is. Like, 1998, I think it is, or in and around that time.
That's an old school thing, guys, isn't it?
Anyway, so it's had a new remaster, and it's exclusively, at the moment, on the Nintendo Switch.
It is.
Metacritic has rated it as 54%, which is not... That's not great.
It's not amazing.
Being honest with you, and I have had a look at a couple of the gripes and sticking points of the game, and I can kind of co-sign on it a little bit.
I saw the IGN review at the weekend on it,
yeah,
and it wasn't bad. I mean, they were pretty fair, to be honest, with what they said. Yeah. I mean, there seems to be a few teething problems in this game, from a gameplay standpoint, rather than a graphical standpoint, because I think the game actually looks quite good.
Yes, yeah. I would definitely say that that's one of my good points about the game. Yeah. The character models and the environment. Like, things look really clean, you know?
Yeah, the zombies look nice. The zombies look really good. So does the player characters look really good as well. The environments look really good. Bear in mind, this is also running on a Switch as well, so that's kind of also cool to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does seem like there's some teething issues of the game that might need some... some patch adjustments. I don't know if they've actually started patching it or not, but I imagine they probably will.
A lot of the issues initially were in and around performance and kind of the... It's just really just the actual the kind of the functionality of the controller as well, which I think is kind of a commonplace issue with any kind of arcade games, arcade rail shooters that are based on console. Unless you're using a light gun, it does feel a bit clunky.
In all fairness, as well, right? It's such a rail shooters, man. Rail shooters are just old, right? They're just very old, aren't they? And also, we've obviously gone beyond the time. I think we spoke a little bit about this, actually, when we talked about the GunCon in the PS2A series.
Yeah.
In that, like, nowadays, obviously, when games have done this and examples of modern games that do this, like probably, I don't know, probably that the Dead Space game, actually, would probably be one of the more notable newer
ones.
There
was a Rambo one as well, wasn't there, a little while ago? Yeah. That was atrocious.
And the Dead Space one was actually quite good. It wasn't too bad. But that obviously used the new kind of style where it was, like, on the Wii. And also the PS3 with the motion controls. And they just had like the gun inserts. You could just put the controllers in and that's how you used it. It wasn't like a proper light gun. It was like you just had the controller in the gun case, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, you could probably do that with a Switch as well, right?
Yeah. The thing is, I think with these, and obviously you can use the motion of the Switch controller, but there's a lot of issues with alignment.
Doesn't it use like the IR reader on the back of one of the
controllers? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
I had a feeling that'd be quite good, you know, if it used that.
Yeah. Apparently the kind of there are alignment issues with it, with the calibrations and so it's quite kind of quirky in the sense that it kind of acts up quite a lot and you've got to like realign it and so on and so forth.
Is there like a system in the game for like configuring that and stuff like that?
Yeah. So obviously you can configure it, but most of the people that I've seen play it have used the sticks just because it's a lot easier.
At that point as well, you're getting a very weird experience, right? To House of the Dead.
Yeah.
If you're using sticks, you know, honestly,
like I had House of the Dead 3 on Xbox, the original Xbox, and I never had a light gun for Xbox, so I always used the controller for it. And you get used to it after a while, but it's not the same. It just feels like you're getting half the experience.
I guess it depends how pure you want to be, right?
Yeah, it does. Like honestly, for me, I think. I was going to kind of give my final verdict at the end, but I kind of an overview of it is that without an official light gun attachment or a controller, because there isn't an official one at the moment. So without that or without a PC port, because I feel like with mouse and keyboard, like it's a little bit more like using the mouse, you can click on areas of the screen quite easily. And I feel that would be more user friendly than what we have right now. I think without those, I wouldn't really be interested in picking this up at the moment, just because of those teething issues. And so
it does retail for £22.49 on the Nintendo eStore,
which is a respectable price, in fairness.
But it is actually on sale at the moment. They've got like they're doing sort of like a Steam type business with this, where they've got like a welcome, like an initial sale period.
Yeah,
so it is actually 10% off at the moment. It's 10% off until the 21st of April. And it's currently £20.24, which isn't too bad. I was tempted. I was very tempted, actually, the other day to pick it up at £20. I don't think that's necessarily a bad purchase. But, I don't know. Obviously, the game itself isn't mega long, right? Because it is literally based on the first game, which is obviously based on the arcade game, right? Which was never long anyway.
And this is the thing as well. They obviously it's been repackaged, even at £20, obviously, which is pretty reasonable.
I don't think it's bad, especially for a Switch game as well, man. I mean,
the issue is
fucking expensive.
Yeah, the issue is here though is that there isn't a lot of new content. It's literally a screen for screen copy of its original counterpart. Mm. And realistically, like this was a really good opportunity to mix things up and to add new areas and to flesh out the game, to make it actually, you know, to bring it into the next generation. Sadly, like arcade light gun based games have been they're kind of obsolete now compared to the VR experiences that we're used to on a lot of the newer consoles now, right? Yeah. That's kind of that's usurped that kind of market of light gun games, right?
House of the Dead VR would be a fucking trip, wouldn't it?
Well, this is it, right? I don't. For me, I'd be thinking, if you're going to bring House of the Dead into the next generation, first of all, the game needs to be longer. You need more content to bring people in. Yeah. And second of all, with the fact that you have VR readily available now on a lot of platforms, why not utilize that? That would have been such a good enhancement to have. You know, not mandatory, but it could have been an option to enhance the gameplay further, to have the VR experience. Why not? You know?
It's an interesting move for sure. I mean, I like the revival because I love the House of Dead series. I think it's really good.
Oh yeah.
It's classic. It's unbelievably cheesy as well.
Like they've kept it on point and on brand with the proper bootleg dialogue.
Oh yeah, the fucking voice acting sounds wooden as fuck. But I love it. It's like, that's not a criticism either. That's praise, because the original had awful voice acting, and that was sort of what I think people loved about it, because this isn't just like bad voice acting, right? This was unbelievably bad voice acting. Yeah, like the voice acting in the first and second game was. It's so terrible.
It
I can't
makes
even
the original Resident Evil look Oscar worthy, doesn't it? Like it really does.
I am convinced that they did not have voice actors, and it was just the game staff that voiced the game. People who worked at a company that voiced the game and just did it off the cuff. Because I don't know, man. Like, it's, unless that was the motive, I don't know. If that was the play all along, that they were just meant to act like that, then that's big brain. Incredibly big brain. But dude, you know what I mean? Like, it's a very weird series, House of the Dead. I feel like it could be a good candidate, you know, for an episode of its own.
Yeah, I totally agree.
The history in the series, because there is quite a lot of weirdness for House of the Dead. A lot of crossover for other games as well. Obviously, Rail Shooter as a whole, right? It was one of the founding kind of fathers of the Rail Shooter age, wasn't it? You know, the time crisis, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it'd be cool to maybe go into that in another episode for sure, but it's... Yeah, it's an interesting one. They have actually already confirmed, though, that the second one is getting a remake as well.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So
that
yeah.
is kind of nice to see, actually, because I know more about the second and the third one than I do about the first one, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm the same. Even though, obviously, I played the first one back in the day.
Yeah.
Because I had House of the Dead 3, which had a copy of 2 in it, I am more familiar with 2 and 3 than I am with the original.
Yeah, I'm way more familiar with 2.
And there's more content in those ones as well. Those games were actually longer.
Yeah, they were a lot longer. And number 3, especially, I knew that one quite a lot because my university actually had an arcade machine, number 3.
Oh, amazing.
In our SU, which was fucking awesome.
I mean, that one was great, right? Because you had the Spas 12 pump action shotgun.
Big old shotties in that one, man.
Yeah, and you'd actually, like, you could pump it to reload it on the arcade cabinet as well, couldn't you? It was really cool. It was
proper good.
Yeah. My favourite one, I think, from arcade cabinet perspective, though, was 4. I liked that because they had the old...
Uzis.
Yeah, they were like TMPs or something, weren't
That's
they,
cool,
right?
Man.
And I used to love walking up there, old Daddy Big Bucks over here. I used to stick £2 in and have both guns.
You're fucking flexing the money there, boy. Dropping.
Had to be done.
Dropping the £2 coins in, man, to a Kimbodo's Spas 12.
Yeah.
A Kimbodo's Uzi's, bro.
Yeah, it's got to be done. It's got to be done.
Ironically, there was a third game that came out, a fifth game actually, sorry, that came out called House of Dead Scarlet Dawn.
Yes,
which apparently got a US release as well, but it's never been made into an actual
game. I've only seen footage of it on YouTube.
I've seen it in Japan.
But
like, it's weird. It says that it got released in the United States in 2008 in Dave and Buster locations, which apparently is a restaurant and entertainment business in America.
Oh, a little bit like a Freddy Fazbear
like a pizzeria, like a Chuck E. Cheese
type
thing.
Real life Chuck E. Cheese, that's it. Yeah, real life example.
It seemed to actually be like, they're like a video game restaurant type place. Apparently, they have exclusive rights, or the game is just in there, their restaurants.
Okay.
So it's like, if you want to play the fifth game, you have to go to either their restaurants, mate, or you need to go to
Japan
to play it, which is a bit sad because I've heard good things about that one. And also, apparently, it's got a really weird booth as well. Like, it's one of those ones you sit inside.
Oh, I love those ones. Do you remember back in the day, it was the Jurassic Park one? That was always a sit-down one.
Yeah. That was great. I played a Jurassic Park one recently, actually, when I was in Brighton. It was wild. It was such a good time.
Yeah.
They also had a really cool Walking Dead one there as well, which is the same kind of jam.
Yeah, I've actually played that one because you've got the crossbows, haven't you? Yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's good.
Cool looking. So that's a shame, really. I would like to see maybe them release it outside because it looks kind of good. And also, it's the most modern, new one there has been.
Yeah. What I always get blown away with now is that, like, on the newer ones, how many enemies are on the screen at once?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's crazy how many enemies you have to contend. Like, in the first one, it was like, yeah, maybe you had, what, three, maybe five at a maximum. In the new ones, you've got like 20, 30, 40 plus enemies on the screen at once.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
When you get into certain areas, you know, you see a door getting banged on or whatever, and then it bursts open, and it's just a literal tide of dead people coming at you.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, just chuck a grenade in there, sorted.
Yeah. It's an interesting one. I feel like we're gonna touch on this maybe a bit more in its own episode, because I think covering all of those games could be really interesting.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, there is, as we've said, there is a literal shit ton of arcade cabinets that we could talk about. We'll go back and we'll chat about Ninja Assault again as well.
Oh, yeah, we're going to go about Ninja Assault again,
That's one of our personal favourites, right?
Ninja Assault's such a good game. We'll talk about it. We'll either make it entirely about House of Dead, or we'll do like a big one all about arcades or rail shooters or something like that. I don't know.
Something like that, yeah.
It'd be sure a good mixture of content.
So a couple more things just to kind of round off the House of the Dead, the remake. We were saying about a lack of new content. There is at least something new about it. There is a horde mode in it.
That's
so
cool.
It adds more enemies to the screen, like we were just saying there.
Yeah. Especially because the first game was sort of reserved, obviously, because, I mean, it's old. The first game was old, right?
Yeah, obviously, physical limitations and whatnot, right? And you have this, like, armory mode where you can actually have other weapons in the game. So normally you just get the pistol, right? But you have access to, like, an assault rifle, grenade launcher, crossbow. There's a bunch of different things as well. So that kind of, like, mixes the game up a little bit. But yeah, it only extends the lifetime,
like I said,
a little bit.
I can't remember the first one very well. Was there any other weapons in the first one?
No, it was literally just the pistol.
Okay, so that's something that's sort of come over from the other games then, isn't it? Where other weapons start to become more common.
Especially, so what the first game I saw that with was Time Crisis 3.
Yeah.
And you had different guns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially like... number 3 and number 4, right, that had the actual different gun models you hold.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was obviously very different, right, to the first games.
Yeah,
I would very much like to pick up one of those, like, in person, like an actual arcade machine. That'd be awesome. Imagine that.
That would be cool. I've toyed around with it a couple of times, but you're talking thousands of pounds for some of them.
That's a shame,
they are,
dude.
Very expensive.
I would buy it. I've had my house to the arcade machine instantly. So I guess to close on this, it may be worth it potentially in the future.
Because the thing is, I've heard rumors about ports to other consoles, and that gives me a little bit of a spark of hope that they might consider a PC port.
If it gets ported
to PC, I would buy it in a heartbeat. Absolutely,
yeah, I probably would as well. To be honest, you're not wrong.
Yeah, or if they do decide to double down and actually give us an official light gun attachment for the Switch, because there is one. And I had a look on Amazon, and it's like it's in the shape of a double-barreled shotgun.
Yeah.
But it's actually supposed to fit both controllers into it, so it doesn't quite work for House of the Dead. Now, I watched, Dashy Games from YouTube, yeah?
Yeah, boy.
So Dash, I actually watched him, and he's actually got the attachment, but he's got the red controller in the shotgun, and then he's got the blue one, and he's actually freehanding with the blue one.
Yeah,
it just seems awkward. So I
actually saw that; it was quite a funny video.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of be. I've got two kind of caveats with that. Either or for me, either a proper light gun for the Switch or a PC port. That would be the game in its current condition. I think I could pass on it, if I'm being honest with you.
I would have liked them to have maybe designed the light gun thing, you know, around the game coming out. So, like, a game that came out a little while ago called Taiko no Tatsu, which is a very, very famous Japanese arcade series about drums, playing the drums.
Yeah.
Playing the big taiko drums. If you've ever seen taiko drums, they're like the huge Japanese drums that, you know, they beat, which is fucking awesome. But there's an arcade series that's based entirely around it called Taiko no Tatsu. And ironically, that's on sale at the moment on Switch for really cheap. It's like £7. Fantastic game. Totally recommend getting it. And that game makes use of the Joy-Cons, obviously, as well, to imitate the drumming motions.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I like that.
And it's got some really nice in-calibration as well in the game that lets you calibrate it correctly to your TV screen if you're playing it for a TV or you're playing it for the Switch handheld. But what I'm getting at is there was a collector's edition of the Taiko no Tatsu that came out that actually came with a physical taiko drum that is an attachment for the Switch.
Very cool.
And yeah. You could use that to play the game. Obviously, it's literally just for that game. Although people have used it online as well for PC versions of Taiko Tatsu.
Yeah. The thing that I find obviously most ludicrous as well is that there were attachments for the Wii that were actually in the shape of a gun as well. So like there were actual officially supported controllers that kind of they actually fulfilled that kind of role.
Yeah.
I don't understand why that wasn't thought of here, like whether that was too much of an expense because they didn't maybe trust in the products. Because this is definitely like they're testing the water here, and if it goes well, they're already making a second one.
Yeah,
you know, I just feel like this would have been the perfect time to double down on that and get a little bit of merch out there. Like the light gun attachment would have been a form of merch for this, right?
I mean, totally. Yeah, it would have been something they could use, something actually usable as well, right?
So yeah, like I feel it's a bit of a shame. It feels like it's missed the mark a little bit, but it is nice to see. Overall, I think from a user perspective, there are lots of people that are quite happy with this, and they love the nostalgia,
yeah,
and they love the idea. But maybe for the next one, that little bit of execution needs to be there. I think.
Yeah. I think it's gonna be something I'm gonna pick up for sure, man. Like I reckon I'm gonna grab it at some point, whether that be on the Switch when they've made some adjustments, or whether that be on a PC if there's a port potentially.
Yeah.
I'm not massively hung up on the lack of the light gun attachment, but I do agree it would make it very nice if there was one.
Yeah, I think for me it was a bit of a deal breaker on the Switch, so yeah. I'm kind of holding out hope now. I want to buy this game, but I don't want to be frustrated or disappointed with the way it controls. So yeah. it's got to be right, you know, for me.
I've just sent you some images, my boy.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, that the top one is actually what the physical arcade machine looks like.
Oh yeah, there we go. Yeah, it's like sick, yeah. Okay, that's really good.
Yeah. Taiko Tatsu Jin. And then the other one is the Switch one with the actual set that you get that works.
Oh, that's fantastic, yeah.
And it works really well as well, actually. There's a lot of people that have got a lot of good use out of that. Apparently, it's actually really, really well made.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. But the one above it, that's actually what the physical arcade machine looks like, which
I'm just getting like the Donkey Kong drum game from GameCube.
Yeah, a little bit. The OG arcade game predates this, but if anything, I think that the Donkey Kong Conga is probably inspired by Taiko no Tatsujin quite a lot.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Yeah,
because this has been a staple in the Japanese arcade scene for a long, long time. But they're very fun games. They're very colourful, very bright and poppy, and you can actually get the that one there on Switch, like I said, for super cheap at the moment. So totally well worth picking up if you want to get like a cool rhythm game in your life.
Oh, yeah, excellent.
If you like rhythm games.
I'm all about rhythm, mate.
The rhythm. Anyway, moving on from House of Dead, my TLDR is recommend, but maybe not yet.
Yeah. Just watch this space.
Watch the space. Interesting little quick one from me, just I found it quite funny. So there is a company that exists called Steamforged Games. We've actually played quite a few of their board games before, haven't we, Zach?
Yes.
These are the guys that have done the Resident Evil board game, haven't they?
They have, yeah.
They also did a Horizon Zero Dawn board game, Monster Hunter World board game. Basically, they're a company that makes board games usually based around famous video games.
Yeah.
That's sort of what they've been doing for a little while now. They've also done Bloodborne, Dark Souls. They've always got fucking gorgeous models in their games. The art in the games is always gorgeous, and the models are always gorgeous. They're made so well. They look so pretty as well. And they recently have released a Dark Souls tabletop roleplay game, so like a D&D-esque kind of roleplay game. And the book looks fantastic. It looks really good, really clean. The artwork in it looks nice as well. It looks like it's been taken straight from the Dark Souls, which is really cool. I had similar praise when we played the Resident Evil 2 board game as well. It looks like they've taken like, you know, elements from the game writer and stuck it right in the board game.
Yeah. Which is super cool. They've definitely like they've captured the the kind of the feel for the, you know, they've got it era specific and they've got the setting down to a T.
Yeah. And basically what's happened is this has come out in England a bit early because I'm pretty sure Steamforged Games are actually an English company. And it's come out early, this RPG game. And basically what it is it's based off of D&D. It's based off D&D 5e, which is what like powers the rule set because Wizards have like sort of this like open license on the base rules for D&D. So you can take like what makes D&D work and you can basically use that in your own roleplay game, basically.
Yeah.
You can use it as like a foundation. It's not using D&D's actual stuff. It just uses like the archetype of what makes D&D. So they've done this basically with them and also with FromSoft, I guess, as well, to make a Dark Souls one. But the thing is, a lot of fans who've got it have been complaining that there is an atrocious amount of spelling mistakes in the book, which is quite disappointing to hear, actually, because these guys have usually got pretty good quality. There's been some issues with apparently things aren't correctly set up in the book. There are spells that have the wrong descriptions or use descriptions for other spells in the game. There's one that has a starting class, the knight, doesn't actually have the correct strength requirement to use his own army he gets given at the start. unsure if that one is actually intended or is also an issue. I could see that as being some weird kind of intended thing with the game. but yeah, I don't know, the misspellings, that's not too great if it is, you know, if it is actually a problem. The makers have actually said that they don't actually think that the issues will affect the playability of the game, but they will take the feedback on seriously. So I don't really know how bad the problem is. But I guess if you have pre-ordered this or you are looking at buying this, potentially be warned that there might be some mad typos in there.
It's a shame, yeah, like you were saying, because that's it. Like, from the personal experience we've had with their products, we've always been very satisfied customers.
Oh yeah, so yeah. Resident Evil 1 is fantastic.
It is, yeah,
absolutely,
yeah,
fantastic.
Done very well. You know, the game flows very well.
Yeah.
Like you said, all the set pieces, the models, everything is done to a really you know, meticulous and high standard. So. Moment of weakness, perhaps a little bit of human error,
but potentially, yeah, I don't know. It's I suppose obviously, you know, a lot of these like RPG books, especially the independent ones, I follow quite a lot, and they do get quite intensively play tested. So I don't know if maybe they've not play tested this one enough, or I don't know, you know, quality assured it enough or stuff like that. I'm not too sure. Obviously, mistakes do slip through the net sometimes, right? Especially in these big books. You know, I've got some proper big roleplay books on my shelf behind me, which are huge. You know, even some of those have the odd typo, but they're like, you know, 400 pages long, right? I'm not expecting them to be as diligent. Yeah. But...
Can't even call them books anymore. They're more like tomes, aren't they?
Actually, yeah. This is why I've started to gravitate towards more smaller RPGs, more OSR stuff, which stands for old school roleplay.
Yeah,
because they're a lot smaller, a lot more easy to digest. Simplistic. Which is quite nice. Yeah, they're quite nice because you just kind of go in with the flow, you know, rather than the big. But I still love the big RPGs. They're still. I've got a fondness for them. But yeah, the bigger books are definitely hard to make. So I don't know, man. I'm just seeing what people are saying. But this is actually quite fresh. This has literally happened today. So I don't know if you are looking at getting this. I guess be careful. Also, people are saying that the collector's edition of the game isn't that good. Apparently, the book on the outside looks nice, but there's literally nothing else inside that separates it, and it's significantly more expensive as well.
Yeah, it's a little bit disappointing to hear, for sure.
In all fairness, I will say that is sometimes a trend with TRPG books anyway, so I don't know if maybe this is people's criticism that maybe don't understand the kind of what the game is very well.
Yeah,
because obviously this is Dark Souls, right? So it's a very popular franchise. Everyone knows it. People might be buying this that have never bought a tabletop roleplay game before in their lives, right? So maybe they don't understand, because D&D does this quite a lot, right? D&D does very nice limited edition alt covers for their books, yeah? But the inside is identical to the normal books. There's no difference. It's just the covers that are different.
Yeah.
There is no difference to it. So that's not actually really... you know, a difference in the industry. It is kind of established that is how it works. So I don't know, maybe some of these complaints are coming from people that maybe aren't clued in too much on how it works.
They're expecting to have a season pass in there, aren't they? All the DLC included.
Yeah. Remember, this is a physical game. This is a physical game that you play, you know. But yeah, I don't know. I'm interested in what they do. This is actually on my radar because I do have quite a big collection of RPG games, but I might hold off to see what, you know, if the rumors are actually true, if there is problems with it. But I totally recommend more people should get into TRPG games. They're so good. Tabletop RPG games are fun as hell. There's also
give it at least one go.
There's so many different genres as well you can play, right? It's not just D&D. D&D is obviously the most popular, so a lot of the time when I talk about them, I always refer back to D&D because it's easy. People know what it is, right?
Yeah.
But there's so many. You know, we've played Warhammer based ones. Yep. There's all sorts.
We've played post-apocalyptic zombie ones.
Yeah. There's a real mixed match. I've got some fucking cracking ones here. Like, I really want to run Morkborg, which I got a little while ago, which just looks so good, which is just a black death metal apocalypse roleplay.
Very nice, yeah.
Set in like this world that's literally on the verge of dying, and it's all really over the top and quite macabre and also stupid in places as well. Kind of like that vibe.
One universe I would always love to have seen a roleplay game for is Brutal Legend.
Oh, Brutal Legend would have been a really good one. Yeah.
The Jack Black game, yeah?
Yeah.
My man, like, that was such a cool world. I would have loved to have seen a roleplay game. That's the world.
Morkborg kind of reminds me a lot about that world, but it's just a lot more darker.
Yeah.
Still very comedy heavy, but a lot more darker.
Yeah.
But I totally agree with you.
Oh man, there's some fucking great characters in that game. You know, like you got Emperor Diviculus, right?
Great game.
it's just such a good game overall. But the setting is brilliant. Like it's got this really cool blend of like obviously rock and metal influence, but it's also set in like this kind of like pseudo fantasy realm as well. We almost need
another game, you know.
I would love a sequel to that game because it was brilliant. And I don't think I've really played anything else like it.
It
was totally unique. And it had such a cool like blend of the third person hack and slash coupled with that almost like strategy element, you know, when you had like the stage battles and stuff like that. So it was really like it's one of a kind. And I love that. So please, if I get a sequel to that, I would be very impressed. I might have to reach out to Jack Black and see if he'll try and pull some strings, you know.
They had some fantastic voice acting in it as well, obviously, with Jack Black.
Oh, it was great, yeah.
And also other celebrities as well, right?
Yeah, you had obviously Remy from Motorhead, right? He was in it.
Yeah.
No, not Remy, Lemmy, right?
Lemmy, yeah.
Lemmy. You had fucking even Kyle Gass had like a little bit of a cameo in it.
Kyle Gass Project.
Tim Curry played it, Emperor Diviculus. It was really good cast. Really, really good cast.
Did Ozzy voice himself in it as well?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was the what was his name? He was like the keeper of metal or something like that, or protector of metal. It was something stupid like that.
The guardian of metal.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, guardian of metal.
The guardian of metal.
And the lead singer of Judas Priest was in it as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was awesome. It was so good.
Love Ozzy. What a gent.
He is national treasure, mate.
Still going strong as well, man, which is unbelievable. You know, unbelievable considering his age now. And just the amount of abuse that man has put his body through, you know. It is kind
That's
of
what's
crazy.
Kept him alive, mate. He's pickled.
It's going to be a sad day. It's a sad day when he does die.
Yeah. But
he is getting on now, mate. Honestly, he is getting fucking on, dude.
I know. I was lucky. I was lucky a couple of years back to see him at Download.
And, oh, you see him at Download? Oh man, mate.
It was great. Yeah, because he was on the Sunday show. That's awesome. Dude, it was good. Like you could definitely tell he's an old man, right? Because he would
get on, dude. Yeah.
He was kind of like differing about on the stage a little bit, and he would he'd like take the mic out. He'd pace back a couple of times, put the mic back on the stand.
Yeah.
Then he'd do the same thing. Like he was like on repeat almost. But
oh God,
honestly, dude, he was still great. Like
he's a legend, right? He's an absolute legend, man. Like I said, the amount of stuff that man has done and that man has been through, it's surprising. I'm pretty sure he's actually still doing a tour now. In fact, he's on his last retirement tour.
Yeah.
No More Tours 2.
I love it.
It's a just... second farewell tour by Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
Which has been going on since 2018.
It's just awesome.
Due to stop in June next year. the man's a legend.
He is.
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
But yeah, so I think kind of moving on from that. Elsewhere in gaming news, we might not necessarily, you know, I obviously might not get my Brutal Legend sequel, but there is another remake coming out pretty soon, or is it at least in the works?
Yeah.
We've got Max Payne.
This was a really, really cool little announcement, actually. I didn't see us coming, you know.
Kind of out of the blue, really, wasn't it?
Totally, totally left field, mate.
You know, it's a classic third-person shooter. You know, kind of like it was the first game I ever saw bullet time in as well. You know, the kind of the slow motion jumping through the air.
It probably did really pioneer that mechanic.
It donned it, didn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Dev by Remedy Entertainment, they are actually looking to come back and to and to remaster them themselves as
well. Yeah, they are doing them themselves, which is fantastic.
Yep, and published by Rockstar Games, of course, as it was before. They announced on April 6th of this year that the project is in its early stages. So they used words like concept development stage. So really, really early days at the moment. Mm. But the fact that they've used the term remake would indicate that there's going to be a significant overhaul on the games and their kind of, you know, kind of what makes them special. So I have a feeling that they're going to be working a lot on the game pain mechanics. Aside from just obviously the obvious graphic,
I think we're looking at like a very decent level remake here, right? Not just not just a bottom run HDFI of a game, right? I think we're looking at a good remake, like a Crash Bandicoot level esque remake here.
Definitely,
Make no mistake, right? Remedy have not been resting on their laurels at all, right? They have done some fucking fantastic games since Max Payne, obviously Alan Wake, right? Alan Wake, massive fucking game, fantastic game as well, such a good game. And they've got a second Alan Wake coming out next year, which is going to be really exciting. But they also did Control in 2019, which was a very, very well-received game. I've still not played Control.
Neither have I.
I feel like I do need to get on it and play it because I've heard so many good things about Control.
Yeah.
So many good things about Control. People have literally been saying it is an incredible game. It's also on such a range of systems as well. It's on pretty much everything.
Yes, funny you should mention Control as well, because there was from the little bit of research that I did in and around Control, it seems though as though it's kind of like ended up as an exclusive on Epic Games, so it's hard to get it anywhere else now other than Epic Games on PC.
On PC, and, you can get it on all of the consoles. It's on
obviously
PS4,
consoles, not PS4, a problem.
PS5, Series X, it's on Switch as well.
Yeah,
and Stadia.
But from a PC perspective, it's become notoriously difficult to get hold of unless you've got an Epic Games account.
True.
So there is speculation that potentially these remakes could go the same way if they do end up falling under the same umbrella the agreement.
I mean, to be honest, man, they might not even do that, right? Because Rockstar do have their own client, their own launcher.
Yeah,
they could even go purely to Rockstar's launcher potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously, how it's going to go.
My hope is that there'll be a Steam version. I can pick that up and I can enjoy it on Steam.
Yeah.
If not, GG, because I'm not buying a new console. So.
I mean, to be honest, man, if it does go to Epic, Epic's not the end of the world, right? It's not too bad to get it on Epic. Like I've got quite a few games on Epic now. It's not that annoying, to be fair. Like, a lot of people's biggest complaint is, oh, I don't like having all the launchers and all that kind of stuff. To be fair, you could always use GOG Galaxy, which is quite good. So GOG Galaxy is made by the guys at GOG, Good Old Games. They're a fantastic platform anyway, because they're really dedicated to making old games work on new platforms.
Yeah.
And GOG did a thing like a few years ago now or a year ago where they released a new version of this thing called GOG Galaxy. And what GOG Galaxy basically does is you can actually sign into it with every launcher you have and it functions as the only launcher you need to use. So you can actually link your Steam account to it and all your Steam games will be on there. You can link your Epic account to it and all your Epic games will be on there. And the launcher itself is actually quite nice, but it does act like a hub that brings all of them in one place, which is quite cool. So because there's a complaint a lot of people say is, oh, they don't like to having to switch between the clients and stuff like that. So if you have GOG, you actually don't necessarily need to have them all.
It's pretty good because it is kind of a pain in the ass. Like, you know, even when you buy games on Steam and then you've still got to go through your Origin to
those kind of games, it's just
a pain in the ass, isn't it? You know,
the whole platform thing has been a very interesting move, obviously, right? Because we are starting to see some developers actually move away from this. We had some news a little while ago saying that Bethesda was sunlighting their one. They were getting rid of it. I can't remember when that's happening. I think I'm pretty sure it's also in spring or sometime like that, or maybe summertime it's going away.
Yeah.
Considering we're already in like springtime now. But they're doing quite a good thing. If you sign into it and you have any games on there, you will get them for free on Steam, which is nice.
That's very, very
good. Because I've actually got Doom Eternal on there, so I'm gonna looking forward to get Doom Eternal on Steam, which would be quite nice.
Excellent.
To go with my old Doom, because I got Eternal on the Bethesda launcher back in the day, because it was only on the Bethesda launcher. So it'd be nice to have that on Steam, you know, in one kind of place. But if you don't mind that, Control, from what I've heard, is a fantastic, fantastic game. It's another one of those weird kind of games they've done. There's a lot of kind of weirdness in it. And it's also based kind of quite heavily around like the SCP Foundation stuff, you know. So if you've ever heard about the SCP Foundation online, it's a website basically dedicated to a load of artists and writers that come together to create these fictional beings called SCPs and this fictional company that, you know, controls them. So Control is actually kind of inspired quite heavily by that work, which is kind of cool because the SCP Foundation obviously is something that's totally free, you know.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. They, those games hit the indie scene pretty hard.
Yeah, it's because the SCP itself, mate, was born out of the indie scene.
Yeah,
you know,
it's really...
actual wiki itself was born, you know, out of being out of just being a collaborative effort, right? Because the entire thing is just done by people, normal people.
Yeah, like I lost count of the amount of YouTubers I saw play. You know, yeah. The one with the concrete like fallen angel looking thing.
Yes,
from,
yeah. There's a lot of indie games that have spawned off it. Markiplier got quite famous, to be fair, because of playing games like that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of his earlier content was centered around SCP Containment Breach, which was a very popular game at the time. That played to a lot of the tropes and featured a lot of the fictional SCPs in there. It's actually kind of cool, to be honest. The wiki itself is really interesting. If you ever want to kind of scare yourself a little bit before bedtime, have a little flick through there and find some of the weird ones.
It was the old man one, wasn't it? We always like, oh man, the picture of it.
Some
it was just like,
ones. The one I like quite a lot, one of my favorite ones, is SCP-294, which is a supernatural coffee machine. but what it does is it can dispense anything, basically. It could dispense anything. And there's lots of really cool, funny stories on there of people doing different tests, basically, seeing what it can do and what it can't do, which is quite funny.
But wasn't there like a bottomless like candy bowl?
Yeah, there's stupid. Well. There's some really stupid ones. There's also a series called J SCPs, I'm pretty sure, which are purely stands for just joke ones, just joke SCPs. and some of those are like really stupid, but really funny. Like all of the stories on the site are kind of tactically kind of like redacted in places as well to make it look like it's like real, which is kind of cool. It's a cool feature, but yeah. So Remedy, they kind of took a lot of inspiration from this source in Control. Obviously, Alan Wake as well, right? That fucking bleeds kind of paranormal stuff, doesn't it?
Excellent game as well. Alan Wake.
Another fantastic game. Very glad that got like a remaster, and also very glad they're doing a second one as well because I really love the first one. And,
yeah, definitely.
From what I'm seeing as well on the second one, it's looking a lot more creepy, you know.
Yeah, that's
I
good.
Remember seeing
that's
the good. Trailer from it. It's looking a lot more horror, which I'm kind of vibing. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah. No, to be fair, because I mean, the first one had a perfect blend. I think of
the first
of
one was. I think the first one was more kind of thriller horror, wasn't it?
Yes, definitely.
Like it wasn't pure horror, but it had some moments. But it was a thriller kind of game.
I think it's kind of cool that they're going to double down on the horror side of it. Because
well, whereas the second one is looking like it's going to be kind of creepy. Yeah, like, ooh, a little bit spooky.
I'm okay with that.
Sure. I'm okay with this as well. To be fair. I think that's going to be a good little take.
Yeah, definitely. Elsewhere in game news, then as well.
Take us away.
Lego Star Wars: The Skywalker Saga has come out recently.
Finally came out after a long, long time in development. A long, long time, but a lot of issues. It seems there's a lot of stuff online about this game. I don't want to go into the controversies too much because there's a little bit. Some of them are a little bit spicy.
Lots of setbacks and so on and so forth, right? But
the game is finally
honest,
out, and
it does look pretty good.
Yeah, it does look incredibly good. Like, I we've just talked about this before we started, right? They've done quite a lot to it that I didn't expect them to actually do.
Yeah, honestly, like with the story looks great. Like, I think a lot of people got kind of bent out of shape because they wanted the mumble, right? But I'm pretty sure that's a feature that you can turn on and off.
The mumble is in the game
still,
yeah. There is an option. Yeah. You can actually go into the settings and change it. And in the sound settings, I'm pretty sure there's an option called retro mode.
Yeah.
Or it's in like the special feature section and it replaces all the voice acting with mumbles.
Yeah. Although, like, I'm kind of like, I probably wouldn't want to do that, right? Because
they've done quite a lot with
voice acting. I've
already
seen clips of it and it's actually like, say, like Obi-Wan, for instance, it's the Obi-Wan from the Clone Wars series.
Yeah,
and same with Anakin, right? So the actual, it's got proper voice acting. I kind of want to enjoy that. You know?
Like, they've done a good job with the voice acting.
yeah, like I'd probably turn the mumble on for the lols every once in a while, maybe after I've beat the game and I've heard all the dialogue.
Yeah,
right?
You'd want to hear the cool voice acting first, right?
Definitely.
It's like the Devil May Cry thing where they gave you the option to watch all the cutscenes as just the actors doing motion capture.
Yeah.
Which is really good. I really liked that feature, by the way. I think more games should do that. I don't know why they don't. Very cool move on Capcom's part there. But you don't have the option to do it on the first playthrough.
That's
you have
cool.
to do it on when you play through again, because, you know, you don't want to kind of... I think it's quite good because you don't ruin the experience, you know. Not saying that the mumble necessarily ruins the experience, but I would like to... I think it's a good way to spice up a future playthrough, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of like experience the game as it's intended first,
yeah.
And then on your new game plus run, then you can tit about with it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can have all the other weird stuff on, all the cheats and all that stuff as well, right? You can just fuck around with it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't necessarily have to be, like, super serious at that point.
What I'm kind of blown away with is that, like, on kind of first glance, it doesn't really feel or look like a Lego game. I know that sounds stupid because they're all Lego characters, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You don't have that, like, atypical kind of, like, it doesn't look like there's a lot of building and that. It just looks like it's the Star Wars cinematic experience, but the characters are made of Lego.
That's
how it kind of strikes me here. And I've had some... kind of like I've spoken to a couple of friends who've played it and so on and so forth. And they've kind of backed that up a little bit, that there isn't an awful lot of like Lego-y stuff there other than the fact that the characters and some of the environment is made of Lego. Like
they've done quite a lot to this game. I mean, first of all, it looks beautiful. Like it looks very fucking nice.
Yeah, it looks very clean.
It looks very modern, very clean. It looks very, very tasty. Especially when you look at some of like the older Lego games that came out, right? That just look a little bit mad. I was watching a friend recently who was streaming the Harry Potter Lego games, because he's on a bit of a trophy. He's on a bit of a trophy binge at the moment, where he wants to get loads of trophies on Sony. So we got those games because they're quite easy games to get trophies in. And that's the Harry Potter games are kind of old now, and the lighting in that game is all kinds of janky. Like the Lego figures look super bright, super shiny, super glossy, like someone just rubbed grease over them, you know. Whereas in this game, right, the lighting looks accurate, it looks nice, it looks smooth, it looks clean. We've got PBR bouncing all over the place, you know. It looks like, you know, it's the tippy top, right, of the, I think, of the Lego games.
I think Star Wars games in general at the moment, they've hit their stride. They're doing so much good
stuff.
Yeah,
it's said in our series, right, on the Star Wars.
Oh
man, there's just so many good Star Wars games at the moment. I think it's powered, you know, purely by the hype that Star Wars is generating again on Disney Plus, right? There is some phenomenal pushes in the medium of Star Wars games currently, and it's awesome to see.
It is, because it's a renaissance period, right? Because we've had kind of dips with Star Wars games, and you know, you've got stuff around now like Fallen Order, you've got stuff like Battlefront 2, you've got stuff like this, the Skywalker saga, right? And they are just they are hitting those notes as they should, you know. And this Skywalker saga, you know, it's going to cover everything. It was like the complete saga of its day, but now they've taken it a step further, and they've just given it that extra kind of shine and, you know, the spit and polish that it kind of needed.
And they've gone so far, right, as to even add like Mandalorian stuff in it, haven't they?
Yeah. Now you've even got parts of the extended universe in there as well, which is just mind blowing.
It's interesting awesome. To see how far they want to carry out. And actually, I wonder if they're going to actually update it with further DLCs, you know, along the way.
I hope so.
Like a Book of Boba DLC or Obi-Wan, extra Obi-Wan stuff that comes with the Obi-Wan series, maybe.
Yeah,
there's obviously a lot of Star Wars stuff in the pipeline, right? So it'd be interesting to see if they want to actually take it one step further and actually keep adding to it now, you know?
Yeah.
Sort of like how Nintendo are kind of doing with the Mario Kart 8 game, in that they're not really making another Mario Kart anymore. They're keeping Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, and they're now doing these really kind of big add-on packs to them with loads of new tracks and stuff like that. Even though the game's been out for ages, because there's no point for them to make another one basically now, because there's been 8 games, right? So many people own it on the Switch. Why would you lose all those players by making a new game?
Well, yeah, this is it, you know.
So it's like, I think that's... does there need to be another Star Wars selection? I don't know. I don't think so. Yeah, I think they could easily build off the background they've got here.
And I think that's the difference between the smart game dev and the your average greedy game dev, right, that just wants to just cash cow as much as they can. You know, they have a good thing here. If they build upon it, they have the opportunity to keep a really dedicated fan base very happy with their product.
Yes.
So, again, you know, only time will tell, but I think you're absolutely right. I think there's definitely room for them to do that.
I think it could just be the ultimate Star Wars, Lego Star Wars experience, right? You know? Nintendo have kind of done it again with Smash as well. Smash has so many characters in now. So many characters. If they ever do another one, right, how are they going to add as many characters as they already got, you know? There's already so many on there.
I kind of wish they'd done that with stuff like Mortal Kombat as well. I feel like
it
would be nice if they could just, you know, have Mortal Kombat and then just keep adding characters, just keep adding as much as they possibly can.
Fighting games is a bit of a weird one, right? Because the games now are getting a lot of DLC. A lot of fighting games have got a lot of DLC, a lot of characters.
Yeah.
But there is obviously like it's a known standard in fighting games, right, to make another fighting game. With Smash, it's a bit weirder because Smash is obviously like the kind of side child of fighting games anyway. It is a fighting game in its own right, and it does have a massive, massive platform. But there's like so many iconic characters from series that are included in the latest Smash. It's like to make another Smash with all those characters, because there is a staggering amount of characters in Smash, right? Huge amount of characters in Smash. Base game as well. Not even DLC characters we're talking about here. There's so many in that game. Whereas normal fighting games, they do get a lot of characters, but nowhere near the level of like Smash does.
I think with Mortal Kombat, especially more often than not, it's because they have characters that are outside of the usual fighting game setting, right? Because you've got characters like Rambo and the Terminator and stuff like that in it. Having the guest characters from previous installments be able to fight the new ones, I think would be awesome. You know, you look back at like Mortal Kombat 9, he had like Freddy Krueger and stuff like that. How cool would it have been to pit Freddy Krueger against, I don't know, the Terminator from the new one, right?
That would have been sick.
That would have been so cool, you could have gone a step further, you know, you got like Leatherface and stuff like that, so you could have Horror Icon versus Horror Icon, There's so many things that they could do with that, and it's like, I feel like with the new Mortal Kombat, they need to add like maybe some legacy characters. Check out some ones that you've already included.
NetherRealm are going, actually. The next game they're probably looking to put out is another Injustice game, which I'm all for, to be fair. Because the last Injustice game was really fun. I've got a lot of fun memories of playing the second one.
Teenage Mutant Turtles into it, man. It was great.
I got a lot of fun memories of playing a second one in my last year of uni. Me and my friends played it quite a lot, the second game. And Mortal Kombat as well. We were on a proper fighting game binge. The second Injustice game was really well done. It was such a fun fighter, especially if you like DC as well, because there's a ton of awesome DC characters out here in that game.
The thing that like just made me chuckle is around about the time that the last one was coming out, everybody was like, oh man, they're going to make Shaggy a playable character.
Scooby-Doo. Memes reached like point then, right? And actually, to be fair, they have sort of escalated now to the point where I'm pretty sure he's in that Nickelodeon fighting game they're making. The one that's basically Smash, but for Nickelodeon characters.
Yeah.
He's actually in that with the memes, and it's like, oh, good lord, dude. It's grown so much legs now, right? It's in like an official fucking thing. It's like Big Chungus, yeah? You know Big Chungus?
Yeah.
Big Chungus is an actual character now in the Looney Tunes world, by the way.
That's
canon.
Brilliant.
That's official canon. It's official canon now. Like, he was added in as an official character to an official mobile game and had a trailer and everything. So he is officially a Looney Tunes character now. He's not just Fat Bugs Bunny. He is Big Chungus.
I really, do you know what? And I love that. And every now and again, you get a lovely, glorious golden nugget to come out of the internet rather than the usual hateful shit, right?
Yeah. It's the fact that something like that, right, has got such legs, right? It's now actually real. It's in its own, it's in its game, it's in the game, it's real, it's official. You know what I mean?
We have the ability to create things here, people, you know?
Yeah. Why are we not putting Big Chungus in, you know? It's like, that's official now. Shaggy with his weird ass fucking god complex is also potentially going to be an official thing now.
I just love it. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's a weirdness, man. It's a weirdness. I don't know much about that Nickelodeon game, actually. I don't know if that's, I don't know when that's coming out or if it's already out. I honestly don't know.
There's only one character you should ever play as, and it's SpongeBob SquarePants.
Right? Mr. Krabs, to be fair, man.
Mr. Krabs is great, right?
But I love Mr. Krabs. If I got to pick a character in SpongeBob, like a favorite one, it's always Mr. Krabs, man.
Because I think it would be great to play a Squidward and bat somebody away with his clarinet. I think that would be hilarious.
That is quite funny. Right, before we go off topic again, let's cover our last little story here, because we're gonna go back to our film corner, right, with this one.
Yeah.
And that was, do you want to take this away, man?
I'll let you start and I'll follow suit from there.
Well, I think it's interesting actually that Jared Leto has managed to make two mediocre like superhero films for both Marvel and DC, you know. Right. So I'm talking about the brand new Marvel film Mobius here, which is a bit of a weird one because it isn't technically mainline Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It's a Sony Marvel.
Sony Marvel, so it's discount Marvel, as I call it. It's not like, you know, pure Marvel. And it's another character that's obviously come from the Spider-Man comics as well. Jared Leto plays the vampire, the living vampire Mobius. And to be honest, man, my TLDR on this is the film terrible? No. Is the film incredible? No.
Yeah.
That's my TLDR on it.
I'm absolutely on the same wavelength there. I sat there and my friend who I went to watch it with, he asked me, he turned to me, he said, "What did you think about it, Zach?" And I looked at him and I went, I can't find anything to like about it.
But
honestly can't sit there and say that I found any part to be particularly special or standout. It was just your run of the mill throwaway hero film.
So I totally agree. I don't think it deserves the venom it's being spat at.
No, because not at all.
There's some people online that are fucking holy shit, dude. They are cutting this film to pieces. And I don't think it deserves that because it isn't the worst film ever made. I've seen way worse films. Worse films. Than Mobius. But like I said, is it terrible? No. Is it amazing? No. It's just a film. It's okay.
It's that's not incredible. Thing,
it's all great. It's okay.
I think Jared Leto, he gets a lot of hate unnecessarily.
I'd be honest with you, I'm not a massive fan of Jared Leto's acting anyway, personally.
Like, that's it, right? And there's plenty of cases that can be made for, you know, people who are acting, should they really be acting? Are they really that good?
Jared Leto, in his face, right? He has had a history of like acting, right? He hasn't just kind of come and become an actor.
That's the thing.
He's done films before.
He won an award, didn't he, for Dallas Buyers Club?
Yeah.
As supporting actor. So this man, he's not a shit actor.
No, he was also in Fight Club as well, right?
Yeah, but I just don't think maybe hero films are his niche, you know? No, and that's okay. That's fine.
Because his performance in fucking Suicide Squad, right, was also a bit ropey.
I think again, that's another thing. People gave him a lot of shit for that. And I didn't really hate his version of the Joker, personally.
I didn't despise it, but it was very different, obviously.
But that's it. Yeah, he like every person who has played the Joker before him and after, they've put their own personal spin on it. He just went out of the box.
He does another, you know, version of Joker, right? Like, it's not fair to hate on it. I mean, the overall Suicide Squad film was okay. The new one is so much better.
The newer one, I think, was better.
Is so much better. Yeah. I think the new one just captures the essence of the team a lot better than that one did. That one was a little bit hazy in places. The new one is fucking phenomenal, though, because
I think there are far more valid points to draw on why Morbius wasn't a good film than Jared Leto's acting, right?
Yeah, it's true.
Shouldn't really be the main focus of the
because this is getting I'm talking, it's getting shit banned by Rotten Tomatoes. We're looking at 16%.
16%, 5.2 on IMDb. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah,
like, oh, man, and that's fine for me because I think anything above a 4 is okay on IMDb, actually. So that's quite, you know, a lot of people be like, that's risky, boy. But I don't know. I think I'd give anything 4 like a chance. I mean, to be honest, I'd give anything lower than the 4 a chance because I like laughing.
Yeah.
I like a laugh, right?
I think the biggest drawbacks for this were the script.
Yeah.
I think the biggest drawbacks for this was also the editing. The CGI, I think this suffered very much in the same way that the first and the second Venom films did, where the CGI is just too fast. I feel like they've cut too many corners with it.
I mean, I do think, though, that the Venom films do hold up quite well, though. I don't think they're very bad, but I also do think, right, that Tom Hardy is a goat in that regard, right? He does fucking...
Definitely.
He fucking sells that film like there's no tomorrow, right? He's fantastic in it.
Yeah, like his Venom voice and just him when he's Eddie Brock, right?
Yeah.
The thing is as well,
the chemistry between the two characters is fucking awesome.
Definitely. Right? And I'm more akin to Venom because I have a vested interest in Venom. Before I watched this film, I had no real concept of who Morbius was as a character anyway.
This is literally what I was thinking. Yeah. Like I think Venom did really well, right? Because Venom was also a well-known character. He was established. People liked him quite a lot, right? He's a very good, cool character. He's got a lot of stuff going on. Venom does, you know, it is the one that Sony did really right. You know, way better than Venom was in Spider-Man 3. That's for sure.
This
Venom was done so well. You know, which is why I really want him to get that fucking Shanghai into the mainline Marvel MCU immediately, dude. Immediately, man.
Yeah, you know, we had a little bit, didn't we, with the latest Spider-Man film, which was cool.
Which is kind of nice. I like that a lot.
But a lot of the speculation that I've heard is that our Tom Hardy Venom is actually going to be in the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man universe.
Yeah, I've heard about this. I just like fucking Tom Hardy, man. I think he does the role so well.
You've
had Venom done well, and it's nice to see Venom done well. So it's like, let's keep this man, because this man's done it super good.
Yeah, because I'll say even the second Venom film, the pacing was just ridiculous. It was just like a breakneck speed.
It was a fast film anyway, right? Because it wasn't a long film, which I don't necessarily have a problem with, because I actually quite like films that aren't fucking three or four hours long now, right? Because it is becoming slowly the trend, right, for films to be like 3 hours long.
And that's fine if it's a good film. But if you sit there for 3 hours and then you hate the film, that's a real that's 3 hours of your life you're not going to get back.
Right? I don't mind a little smaller film, right? I didn't mind, but I like Venom, right? So I was already going in optimistic because I liked Tom Hardy, I liked Venom, I liked the universe. It was okay, you know. Carnage is a cool character as well, so yeah, I'm game for this.
I don't want them to just make throwaway, forgettable films. Because you know they're using characters here that deserve that time and attention. Obviously, the Sony branch of Marvel, they're not going to have the time and the patience to world build like they have with the main Marvel Cinematic Universe. Right?
This is the problem, right? It's the problem. Same problem with DC.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the problem DC had, bro, when they were chasing the dream. They were chasing the Marvel dream because Marvel was out there kicking ass and taking names with the Cinematic Universe, right? But they took fucking time. Remember when, like, Captain America was, like, the only Marvel film there was? And, like, Iron Man, right? Iron Man 1, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they took a long time getting those together, you know, making the individual films, making the Thor film, making the Iron Man films, bringing them all together to meet the Avengers, right? Man, they tried to Shanghai the Justice League so far. I don't care what anyone says about, oh, Snyder Cut's, like, much better. Yeah, man, but they fucking still rushed the shit out of that. Yeah.
They
still tried to get a fucking Justice League film out so fast, and so quick, bro. There had been no time for the fucking dust to settle on the normal films. Like the normal Aquaman film, for example, anything like that, you know.
Exactly.
They just fucking shot it out.
Yeah, Marvel have had numerous TV series as well to world build.
Yeah.
DC went in real heavy. They saw the money.
They saw the fucking grip that Marvel was doing. They were like, we're going to fucking do this. And they just fucked it. Which is why you had so many anticlimactic DC films that just shit the bed. Because they were. Yeah. They're finally learning now, right? They're finally learning now because you've got good films coming out like The Joker, The Batman. You've got the Suicide Squad film, which is really good. You've got the Peacemaker spin-off series as well. That's also been made, which is also apparently really good. I've not seen it, but apparently it's decent.
I've heard really good things.
And also, John Cena's done a lot of like method acting and stuff in it as well. Apparently, he's actually wrote stuff, which is incredible.
And he won't take the helmet off, and I love it.
It's fucking stupid. I love it. But that's how they should be doing it, right? That's how they should have started doing it. They shouldn't have been fucking trying to, you know, quickly ram the films out. You know,
Marvel was in that creative limbo for a long time when it was owned by lots of different parties, right?
They were, completely.
I feel like Marvel's also had that learning curve very much in the same way that
they've been humbled by it, right?
Yes, definitely.
For sure.
And I feel like sometimes that's necessary. You need to be humbled before you can start to really do your best work.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm kind of hoping that that's what it is, that, you know, now that we're getting stuff, like you said, you know, like with Joaquin Phoenix's
Joker. Joker's fantastic, yeah.
And, you know, Robert Pattinson's Batman. I really enjoyed that, as we said in the last time we spoke about it.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Robert Pattinson's Batman, actually. I thought it was very good.
So,
it was,
uh, what you know, because Marvel is different, right? And especially the Sony Marvel stuff, it's never going to be that kind of character study, so deep and dark DC stuff that we're getting now.
I do want to comment on the divide between the Marvel MCU and the Sony Marvel MCU, yeah, because there is some kind of weirdness happening here. So I'm gonna spoil the ending to Mobius right now. So if y'all don't want spoilers, don't listen to this bit. But I'm gonna drop a spoiler. So end of Mobius, yeah. Did you see the credit scene? The end of credit scene.
The vulture pops up, doesn't he? Yeah.
But my man, that vulture is not the vulture from Thingy.
No, he's not.
That's the vulture from the mainline Marvel MCU, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
He appears in the Sony Marvel universe through the crack that came from the Spider-Man film. Yeah, No Way Home.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. What? How? How? That wasn't a part of the spell. The spell that Doctor Strange did, yeah, was to send everyone back to their own universes, yeah?
Yeah.
Why is he suddenly in the... He was already in his own universe.
Who the hell knows, mate?
He was already in his own universe. It makes me think, honestly, that someone has not even seen this at Marvel. Like, someone at Marvel was just like, oh, yeah, let's only get on with it, you know? They're doing their own business. Well, that's all right. It's not going to come back on, you know, our films. But, like, I feel like that ending, it does kind of throw the mainline MCU into question a little bit. Because they've sort of just shanghaied this fucking input, but I think it does legit have ramifications. Like, why the fuck is this character suddenly in this universe? He's not going to be there.
Yeah, it's definitely what it is. What it has done is it has ripped a giant fucking plot hole in
the actual
Spider-Man film that we watched, right?
Yeah, the mainline MCU film, right? That's what got me thinking. Like, has anyone from Marvel actually seen them doing this and been like, what are they doing? Because it does leave a huge gaping hole in it. I don't know. Maybe fucking Doctor Strange, right, when that comes out, is going to explain more.
Perhaps.
But I just think it's so obscure, right? I just don't understand why. I just don't get it. I just do not get it at all.
Could they not just, you know, maybe hire someone else to play the vulture for that universe?
They'd have a vulture for their own universe, right? It's well established, yeah. Right? It's well established. And Marvel are playing on the multiverse stuff quite heavily at the moment, right? Especially in the latest, like, phase of the Marvel universe.
Yeah.
When they're doing the cosmic horror kind of stuff. And, you know, they're doing...
What If series as well, right?
That's big on the multiverse, right? And all that kind of stuff. And Loki and all that stuff as well.
Yep.
It just seems very fucking weird that they then have allowed Sony to do this madness, right? Because this is literally the same dude from the Tom Holland universe.
Yeah.
Why is he here?
Exactly.
I don't
the same character.
I do not get it.
It's not even like he's just wearing the same fate. It's literally
I don't get
the
it.
Same
I just,
person.
I just do not get it at all, right? I just do not understand why they chose to do that, because it's just so confusing. It's just,
it's also a case that Morbius spends the entire film trying to be a good guy, right? Yeah. And then right at the end, the vulture just turns up and he's like, hey, we should go thonk Spider-Man, just beat him.
Spider-Man, yeah.
Yeah. And then Morbius is just like, cool, seems like a good idea. What? Okay. All right then.
Well, it's, I guess they're hinting like a Sinister Six film, aren't they? Right?
Sure, right. But
also
I'm also like, dude, like you've just sat me here and I've vicariously watched his struggle being a good guy and a bad guy, right? And then he's just gone, and then after the whole hour and a half, he's just gone, yeah, fuck it, I'll be a bad guy.
So like, what we'll probably get is are we going to have like Andrew Garfield's third film is going to be a Sinister Six Spider-Man film, maybe.
Probably, yeah.
Because, you know, the rumours of the Andrew Garfield third film are pretty hot right now, ever since, obviously, No Way Home happened, right?
And now we're never going to trust another word that comes out of his mouth.
We're not,
On the lead-up to the I am definitely not in that Spider-Man film.
Of course, right? But everyone's remembered now, aren't they? We'd love the third Andrew Garfield film. I mean, I still don't really like the other Andrew Garfield films, I'll be very honest with you, mate.
Well, and there's also a theory as well that because he helped fix Electro, that now Gwen Stacy won't be dead, so we could get Emma Stone back as...
Oh, mate. Oh. Mm. Electro was so good in No Way Home. Electro was so good in No Way Home, mate.
Yeah, I did like him.
Oh, it's so fucking good. Like, what I loved most about No Way Home, right, is he actually fixed a lot of the shit Andrew Garfield villains.
Yeah, you know? To be fair, mate. Yeah.
It was, I think, one
Lizard
of the biggest
as well.
Things. Because, Lizard. Yeah, I mean, Lizard's still a bit meh, but they did make it marginally better, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just think that's great because they actually fit, because a lot of the fucking Garfield villains were crap, man, honestly. They were so shit in their own films.
Well,
but when they came into
the Goblin, wasn't it? Yeah, wasn't that the guy that played he was in Valerian, wasn't he?
He
has quite frankly the most punchable face I've ever seen in my life.
Exactly right, exactly.
I don't even know the guy's name, but yeah, man,
he's
like
when Jamie Foxx actually got to fucking, you know, play him properly.
Well, to retcon his own character, man. It was the
he
best thing.
He did a fucking good job about him as well.
Because Jamie Foxx is like one of the coolest men alive, right?
His character as well, yeah. So I was happy to see they did him justice, because the 2014 Spider-Man film, that's not justice, bro. That's not justice in the slightest. You know,
yeah.
Blue Electro. Right, Blue Electro, what's going on?
I love the little touches, like when he powered up and he got the mask as well. Yeah. That was just cool, man. It's just little bit, touches little like bit. That
I
were mean, brilliant.
Take this away from, I can't believe Mobius. Get away, Mobius. We're talking about fucking No Way Home now, mate.
Do you know why? Because Morbius is so fucking forgettable by
comparison. No Way Home is not forgettable.
So forgettable. And we haven't even touched on the fact that Matt Smith, who played the Doctor, was the bad guy.
Oh, it's Matt Smith, isn't it, bro?
How fucking underwhelming was he? He was so... Oh,
before talking about him, I'm gonna shout out one more time. Yeah, William Dafoe was the best character in No Way Home.
Oh, William Dafoe was amazing.
You all don't like William Dafoe, you need to grow the fuck up. Honestly, he fucking smashed that film, dude. He was so fucking good as the Goblin. He was so good, dude. Holy shit, was he? He was creepy and malicious.
He wanted to do his own fight scenes as well.
Yeah,
I love that.
He was a nutter,
that.
Bro. He was playing the guy. Yeah. Mental. He was playing him proper, full on crazy, wasn't he? And it was sick. It was so cool. It was so cool.
Absolutely.
But going back to Matt Smith, yeah, fucking Matt Smith of all people. God damn. Like, I feel like my man has just fucked up his chances of getting into another Marvel film, you know, by doing this film. Because it's just not great, is it? It's not great. Let's put it that way. It's not amazing.
No. I just didn't get it.
Nah, man.
To be honest, mate.
No. I don't know. I feel like I might be having a lot to say about Matt Smith soon, because he's also obviously playing Matey Boy in the House of the Dragon, which is the Game of Thrones spinoff.
Right.
Which I'm going to watch, because I have to watch it. I have to see if it's something that's at least going to get a bit better after the awful fucking ending that was the last season of Game of Thrones, which is fucking terrible.
Yeah. I already kind of had a bit of a bad taste in my mouth from Matt Smith, because obviously he was the Doctor that followed David Tennant.
He was, but I didn't necessarily think his Doctor was particularly bad.
I think
still watching during the Matt Smith era. I didn't stop me until after Matt Smith.
Do you know what I think, obviously we are digressing quite heavily here into Doctor Who, but it's only natural for a newsreel episode. But I think my biggest issue was the fact that I think he was an all right Doctor, but I don't think he had the best storylines. Mm. I think David Tennant's storylines were just absolutely.
In all fairness, though, mate, I can say a lot about just the writing in general of Doctor Who, mate, kind of went on the nosedive after David Tennant, regardless, right? So I don't even think it's necessarily totally on Matt Smith, right? I think that the writing was also garbage. No.
Like everything I've seen him pop up in after, I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing here? Like, he was in a Terminator film as well.
He's not done a lot, Terminator Genesis. Since then, to be honest. He's done little films here and there, dude.
And then, Pride, Prejudice and Zombies, I think he was in that as well.
Fucking hell, was he in a Charles Manson? He was in a fucking Charles Manson film, bro.
What
the fuck?
I don't know.
Does he play Charles Manson in this film? I think he does. That's fucking, I've never seen that before. What?
No, but...
It's called Charlie Says. Holy fuck, what the hell? Right,
that's the thing. I'm not even going to shit on his acting ability. I just think he was the wrong choice.
I mean,
for that character.
Yeah,
I just don't. I think that role was probably maybe beneath him a little bit.
We're not to talk about the dance sequence, even, mate.
Wow,
you know, the bit where he's getting changed, bro. Oh my god.
Yeah.
God, I was in the cinema, mate, and I was getting ready to just slice my wrists open.
The
cringe was just so heavy. I was just like, oh, this is fucking cringy, dude. Oh,
yeah. And it's like the boss fight at the end, it was over in 2 seconds as well. It was just like,
yeah, I don't fucking know.
It was just Morbius getting punched a little bit.
Do you know what makes me kind of
CGI
sad?
CGI is like 90% rubble in that film as well. Yeah. And then like, it's just, and now I've killed Matt Smith.
What makes me sad, is that they have fucking busted their load on Morbius in this film, And I was looking forward to maybe some kind of mainline MCU Blade collab thing going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because fuck me, that's not going to happen now. That's not going to happen at all. So it don't matter. It would have been cool to have seen that, I guess, right? It would have been cool to see that.
Blade, you know, like we've already heard that Blade isn't going to be an adult only film anyway,
well,
right?
It's going to be already, toned, right? Yeah.
Already, I'm worried now.
Yes, but also I've got high hopes for it, because I think it's going to be a good film still, regardless.
I really hope so, mate, because it's one that I'm really genuinely looking forward to.
Yeah, I think it's going to be okay, because originally, honestly, mate, I was against it to begin with. I wasn't a fan, right? You know, because I fucking love the Wesley Snipes made film so much.
Oh,
but
mate,
for everything they've done for the Marvel franchise as well, right? A lot of people forget this. Shout out once again. Yeah. If it wasn't for Blade, you wouldn't have any of the other
first.
Wouldn't have any of the other Marvel films. That's a fact, right? All because of them. And, you know, Wesley Snipes fucking carried the shit out of that as well. It's sad that he wasn't in this film. Michelle Allard's a great actor, though, right? So I think he's going to do a really good job as Blade. Wesley Snipes has also said on Twitter, right, that he's given him his blessing as well.
I have no doubt that he is going to give that 150% right, and it's going to be great.
He looks really good. I don't think he looks like Blade visually as well, right?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
He's got the identity. But yeah, you are right, right? It's going to be a PG-13 Blade.
Yeah.
I don't know, man, because I feel like it can still be good, but still be a little bit PG. Just up it, just a little bit. Just give me a little.
How do you make, like, vampires, you know? Because let's be honest, right? Vampires are cool as fuck. Yeah. They are just awesome, right? Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you do that? Like
I think it's going to be on the higher end of the PG scale, right?
Yeah,
for sure. Because let's be honest. Yeah, there is some films recently that have come out that I've been quite shocked at their age rating, considering what they contain inside them.
Yeah,
there's been a few films like that. I honestly can't remember what it was happening recently, but I remember being like, you know, that's that's something a bit risque for the age of the film. So I feel like they are going to push the boundary a little bit, a little push. Obviously, it's not going to be like the Wesley Snipes films, right? It's not going to be that crazy. But I mean, to be honest, right, it's kind of a big deal, the Blade film, to be honest, mate, because it does so much stuff with the franchise, because it basically then confirms vampires exist in the MCU, right?
Yep.
Vampires are real in the MCU, for starters, in the mainline MCU as well, not the budget MCU. even though you can't really count fucking Mobius as a proper vampire, really, right?
I mean, why not? He exsanguinates people.
He's the living vampire, isn't he? That's kind of his nickname, because he's sort of artificially
burning the sun.
Yeah, he's an artificially created vampire, right? Not like a pure vampire, like the vampires in the Blade universe are. And like Blade, obviously being, you know, half vampire, right?
Some motherfuckers always trying to ice skate uphill.
We do an episode where we're just going to talk in quotes from Wesley Snipes films, to be fair. I'd be all right with that.
Oh, man, yeah.
Fuck is the fast, too.
Fuck is the fast.
Fuck is the fast, too. So I'm kind of okay with... I think he's going to play the cards really well. I just need to see the film. I honestly can't say a lot, bro, until I've seen it.
I have really high hopes, and normally when I have high hopes, I tend to be disappointed.
Did you see Eternals when Eternals came out, yeah?
No.
You've not seen Eternals on, like, Disney Plus?
I haven't bothered watching it, mate, because I've heard so many bad things about it. I haven't got the time to waste, because I know basically everybody I've spoken to has watched it, has gone,
all right,
well, that was a really long film and it didn't need to be.
It didn't need to be that long. Personally, I think the film could have been a series on Disney Plus, but not talking about that. Have you seen the end credit scene from Eternals?
No.
Or one of the end credit scenes from Eternals, because there's like two.
No, I haven't.
Okay, I'm going to just drop it to you now if you're not going to bother watching it.
I'm not going to bother watching it.
So Kit Harington features in Eternals, yeah?
Yep.
He's going to go on to play a character called Black Knight, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Who's another character from, like, the kind of Marvel paranormal section, division.
Dark Marvel, yeah?
Dark Marvel, kind of that paranormal area. He has links to Blade quite heavily in the TV series, and in the comic series. His character does, with, like, there's a fucking group, I forget what the group's called, which is basically, like, the Avengers, but for supernatural stuff.
Oh, okay.
And they're based in, like, England in the Marvel Universe. It's like MI5, but for exterminating paranormal activity.
Oh, a little bit like Hellboy.
Yeah, sort of like that. Yeah. Probably where the references might have come from, you know.
Oh, dude, I'll tell you what. That was another one in recent history I was disappointed with when they did the Hellboy film, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely not David Harbour's fault. Again, and this is another example of somebody who's perfect for the role, but the film was awful.
Yeah.
I hope that doesn't happen for Blade, because like David Harbour played Hellboy superbly, but the film was garbage. It was awful.
So there's a bit basically in the post-credit scene where Matey Boy picks up the ebony, opens the door, and there's an ebony blade in there, and he's like, oh my god, it's the Black Knight, right? The Black Knight's blade. And just as he's about to pick up the blade, because there's like a curse on the blade, it's his family's blade, you hear someone off screen start speaking, yeah?
Yeah.
And that's Blade. That's Marshall Allard playing Blade for the first time.
Cool.
He says something about the sword. He asks if he's sure, if he's ready, if he's really sure he wants to pick it up, yeah? Yeah. It's actually him. That's officially him. It's credited. It is him as Blade. And the voice sounds really good.
Cool.
Like, his voice sounds fucking awesome. But they linked them together because, like I said, the characters have a lot of history together. I imagine the Blade film will end with him going to that post-credit scene, I think.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, it won't be like after. It won't be set after. I imagine it's going to be like he's going to go after, because it's going to be about... it's going to be about thingy, isn't it? It's going to be about his like origin, I guess, is the character first.
Blade origin story, yeah.
And then he's going to go on to that, I imagine. Oh, that's what it is. We'll get... they're called MI-13.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. They were the UK's paranormal agency led by Captain Britain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Blade was recruited since he, in the comics, he's British, Blade is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So he came from the UK. He was already in it. Him alongside Black Knight. They're all kind of in this collective. Yeah, yeah.
Do you think we'll get Deacon Frost again in
I don't really know, mate, because to be honest, yeah, as much as I love Blade, I will be very honest here. I've not really read much of the comics, if any, of the comics. So I don't really
know. Kind of in the same boat there, mate, to be fair.
I don't really know a great deal about the comic universe for Blade, and how much of that actually crossed over with the original films, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not too sure, to be honest with you, dude. I honestly don't know what's...
We're going to have to look that up, I think.
100%. 100% going to have to do some research, I think, on that to try and maybe understand it a little bit further, because I love the series and I'd love to see where they're going down, because obviously with Marshall Allen's Blade, right, they're going to plug the comics a lot more heavy, aren't they? Because they, well, definitely. It's their source material, isn't it?
And the new comics, they'll probably resemble his likeness.
I imagine they're going to do new comics as well, yeah, like they've done with a lot of the other DC ones. Sorry, Marvel ones. And DC ones, actually, as well, because they have done it for DC as also. Done tie-in comics movies. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you ever so much for listening to us ramble on. I will totally say, right before we do end, yeah, fucking go watch Doctor Strange when that comes out, because that looks fire.
It does, yeah. I've seen
that's
going to
be a good
40 times.
Sam Raimi, mate, fucking fantastic. Also, dude, motherfucking Bruce Campbell is probably in it. I'm just calling it now, yeah? He's probably in it because he did a fucking picture on his Instagram or his Twitter recently where he's getting makeup, yeah?
Yeah, expect to see him,
In the fucking place, and it looked like there was the maddest thing in the background. I reckon Bruce Campbell's in it as like an Easter egg.
I think so. I think you're right.
Mate, sure. I want him to play, yeah, another version of Doctor Strange.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That'd be funny, yeah, because you're going to see other Doctor Strangers in it, right? Like you did with the Lokis in the Loki film.
He's even got the hair as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he has. I think it would be fucking great if he plays a spin-off comedy, like a comedic Doctor Strange.
Oh, please, please let that be a thing. I would have waited into existence.
He's got the hair, right? I think he could do it. And he's going to be in it. So he has to be, right? Him and Sam Raimi are too tight for him not to be in it.
Oh, that would be brilliant.
If my fear is correct, though, I'm going to fucking howl in that cinema, because I think that'd be hilarious if he's playing like a version of Doctor Strange. That's a bit comedy, baby.
Groovy Doctor Strange,
baby. Bit heavier set Doctor Strange, right? Like... Because his body type is obviously nothing like fucking Benedict Cumberbatch's like body type, right? Yeah. They look, but I reckon he could do it, right? Just like they did with the Lokis in Loki, yeah. I reckon he could play.
Oh, that was excellent, wasn't it?
Yeah. I reckon he could play a bit of a tasty little side to Doctor Strange, you know.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
But anyway, thank you so much, everyone, for listening to us ramble on about the latest news. We will see you next time to do it all over again.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Take care, and see you soon.
Bye.